our Ask the Mayor public affairs program every Sunday, and then you can always go online at whlc.com. People appreciate that who are out of town. And welcome back from being out of town, sir, our Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor, on this Easter, celebrating that and Passover.
And I hope everyone has a productive and reflective Easter and Passover. This is a time of spring, new birth, regeneration, and I think those holidays capture that spirit.
You were just enjoying yourself in a nice getaway at Jekyll Island, and you got some news. There was an overturned propane tank, I remember this, in the Nyad area. Doc Wilson came to the rescue. Can you explain?
We had our little winter getaway on Jekyll Island. Actually, I had not talked with the town manager or done really any business other than checking email for the whole week. Our last night there on Friday, we came back about 7 o'clock from the Zachary's River House at Jekyll Island, one of our favorite places to eat. Our dog had had one of the greatest vacations she's ever had. She loved walking on the beach. We were kind of relaxed, only to get a call from Josh saying there'd been a propane accident.
Oh, no.
First, when I heard that, I had those flashbacks of what happened on 64 this year with that huge propane tank rolling into the gully off the road. It was a smaller situation, but still, anytime you're dealing with propane, it's a real problem. And what had happened over on Nyad Terrace had been kind of an independent propane person was doing an install that was had some construction activity going on. The person doing the work decided it would be a good idea to take a fully loaded propane tank using a crane to lift it up and put it into place. Unfortunately, that crane and truck could not handle the weight. So what I understand, the crane and the tank fell over. The tank ruptured and was putting out propane. Of course, our fire department, our police came to secure the area, notify the residents. We did ask Doc Wilson of Wilson Gas, a licensed expert in propane installation. He came over and gave advice on how to deal with this situation and mitigate the situation. And we appreciate Doc taking the time to come over and work with our fire department and everything about how to address this problem. But it really illustrates something, Steve, and that is sometimes people want to cut corners on construction and doing things, and a lot of those kind of installations are critical and potentially dangerous. Let me just emphasize to people, go with licensed professionals who have a responsibility to make sure that all procedures are followed and it's done safely. Fortunately, everything worked out and everything was secured and we were able to move forward. I was able to get back to Highlands, so we enjoyed the winter break.
Oh, by the way, we do have a statewide burn ban. We saw the papers on Thursday, and of course, with the dry brush and the low humidity, or the winds, you throw that in, and they've been up there at about 30 miles an hour. That's dangerous, so no burning.
We have a number of wildfires in Western Carolina that they're dealing with right now. One of them was caused by a woman taking out some kind of combustible material that she thought was out. Some hot coals and threw them out in her backyard. And of course, when the wind hits hot coals, it started a fire that has burned, I think, about 400 acres now, and it's cost a fortune. When we have to have our firefighters, the North Carolina Forest Service, the U.S. Forest Service bring in all of that equipment, yes, let me urge everyone, the ban applies to all of us. They do not want us burning outdoors in these dry conditions. We're hoping we're going to get rain. This time of year in the spring, we have those wind gusts in dry conditions, and if you have a fire, it can spread very fast.
And we are grateful for the mobile app that the town has on their town website, obviously, and the information that we exchanged and told them about. It was just immediate information, so everybody's got to get that.
Someone sent me an email this week saying, how do we get the app? I think some people think the town provides that app. We do not. You just simply go to your app store and type in under the search, Town of Highlands, that app will pop up. You click on it, you download it for free, and you're in the system. And it has become a very important app for getting out information to the public. It's a very good app. It's an information guide. If you want to know a phone number, what services, organization, it's probably linked to that app. So I encourage everybody, if you don't have it, to take just a minute or two and put it on your cell phone.
And another message that was fed to us, that cable line down at 4th and Laurel. And oh, no. So what happened there?
You're the information. Here again, I was going down to Franklin to meet with my tax guy. I'd gotten all of my tax information together, and I was feeling good that I was ahead of schedule about filing our income taxes, only to be getting a message that 4th Street had been closed down by the police, and there were detours because a tractor-trailer truck caught a fiber optic line that Hotwire uses. The trailer on the truck, I guess, caught the line, and the driver kept driving. Maybe he didn't know that he had tangled with the line, but it's the worst thing that can happen to a fiber optics line is to snap it in two. It's not like a tree falling down, and they've got a design with that network that if a tree falls down, more than likely the fiber optic won't break. This line was completely ripped apart, which meant Hotwire this week has been bringing, you'll see a little trailer on the side of 4th Street over near Spruce, and they've been having to literally re-splice every fiber line that was broken. And by that, I mean they have to put the two lines, the fibers, together, and then they have a heat system that makes the glass melt and fuse together. It's like welding glass. I know that a number of customers from Hotwire were taken offline. I know that they're doing everything they can to get the fiber back in service. And yes, our police are investigating it, and that's all I will say.
Which proves once again that you are not allowed to leave the mountain. It just seems everything happens when you're gone. So yeah, it was great to have you back. The fire tax meeting, how did that go? I hear that it went well.
It did. We had that on Tuesday evening from 5:30 to 6:30 at the community building. We had the fire chief leading the presentation and discussion, question and answer. We had representatives from the county. Warren Cabe, the county manager, was there. Commissioner Breeden and Commissioner Sherrill. And then we had Josh Ward, our town manager. Amy Patterson, Eric Pearson, and Jeff Weller were there for the town board of commissioners. We had residents, and we had volunteer firemen and full-time firefighters there also. So it was a good meeting. I know Commissioner Sherrill wanted to have that public meeting before any decision about increasing the fire tax for this district, which involves both the town residents and the unincorporated areas of the county that compose this big fire district, almost 70 square miles in size. It's a big area to cover. The chief made a good presentation about the need to acquire some new trucks. Some of the trucks that we're using are over 20 years old. Also, it's time to move from two full-time firefighters per shift to three. So we'll be increasing, under this proposal, the number of full-time firefighters. And the chief pointed out that even this week, in about 16% of the time when they're answering a call, this happens, they're on one call, and then at the same time, they get another call. And they're spread thin with just two firefighters, so they want to make sure that each shift has three. Franklin already has three covering their fire district. And Commissioner Sherrill, who's a retired volunteer firefighter, made the point that this isn't just an issue for the Highlands Fire District. It is a county, a state, and national issue of the volunteer system that we've depended on is slowly but surely eroding, and municipalities and counties are having to move toward full-time firefighting staff and provide coverage. Commissioner Sherrill pointed out it's not going to be immediate, but the county has to start looking at reorganizing the fire system And part of that would be hiring full-time firefighters throughout the county to make sure that there's always coverage when an emergency or structure fire occurs.
And when you look at that call graph, it's just progressively just going up and up, 1,000 calls this year?
We think that based on the early information, that this year we will pass 1,000 calls. Last year, we're at 900, and we're on track to be having more calls. And I want to say one thing. Everybody thinks, well, how many times do they have to go put out a fire? That's not that often. But when you have to put out a major structure fire, you've got to have the personnel and the equipment. But the fire department does so much more with that propane tank. They're hazmat specialists, so they have to go answer that. They do things like search and rescue. They have that training. Or if someone's lost, they will mobilize. Routine things like go up with the ladder and get the cat out of the tree, those kind of things. And whenever we have an auto accident, they have to respond. And they are trained and they have the jaws of life in case someone's trapped in a vehicle. As the chief pointed out, their first response truck has so much equipment that might be needed in any kind of an emergency situation like an auto accident. The EMTs, the fire department has that training. They have those resources. So that all comprises the calls that they have to make. They also talked about having to respond to false alarms. One of the firefighters there was saying that they recently had a call, and en route, there was a fire in one of the flues or chimneys in their kitchen, and they were able, of course, to put it out. But firefighters were emphasizing, yes, we have false alarms, but we can't just say, well, we think that might be a false alarm. They have to respond to make sure that everything is safe and secure.
Now, the reason for that meeting about the fire attacks, we'll find out what happens.
The reason we had the county leadership and the town leadership, since it is a fire district involving the county and the town board of commissioners for Macon County and the town commission, have to approve increases and the budget. We do that each year very early in the budget cycle so we can get that all in place. But citizens were asking about the fire tax. Town residents pay county taxes, and then they also pay town taxes. And then on their bill, because the county collects the tax revenue for both the town and the county, there is an area about the fire tax and what the rate is and what you're paying. And then if you are living outside the town limits, you're just paying the county property tax and you're paying the fire tax. The rate, whether you're in the county or in the town, it's all the same because you're in the same fire district. Some people, I think, were at the meeting were confused about that, but it doesn't matter what the rate is for the town or the county. It's an across-the-board rate for everyone in that fire district.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of budget, okay, another budget meeting that's scheduled for April 9th, the essentials, what to do for the town.
Now the staff and the town manager will be refining the priorities for the budget. They will present those at this first afternoon workshop. Given everything that has happened with the war that's going on in the Middle East, cost of fuel going up, oil, and I think the spirit of the board will be rather conservative this year about expenditures. We just don't know what the impact of this crisis, where oil could be in jeopardy, how it will impact our operations, like any business. I think we're going to be very cautious this year, what we do and what we don't, and some things will have to be delayed for another time.
You're listening to Ask the Mayor, our public affairs program, every Sunday at 7 o'clock online, then at WHLC.com with Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor. Good to have you back in town.
Good to be back, Steve. I enjoy what I do, and while we enjoyed being away, it's always good to be back home.